Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus, draw me ever nearer as I labor through the storm. You have called me to this passage, and I've
I just love that song.
This is Newton on the spot coming from Oxford, South Carolina. We are having a little trouble tonight.
All right.
We are having a little trouble with the internet, but hey, I found another way around it. So we are live. Dr. E, I see you.
I'm here, manager. Thank you for your faithfulness. Do we have our other co-host on the line tonight, Miss Ida Moore?
She dropped off too quick for me.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, we shall overcome. Even with the technical difficulties and frustration, we appreciate your perseverance to make this happen tonight. Good evening, everyone.
Yeah.
We got
Canada on the line.
Yeah, Mario at least. Rod is in back.
Hello,
so he'll be here tonight.
Hello to my Canadian family. We want to.
Yes, hello.
Hello, sir. Thank you for being on the show tonight.
It's my pleasure.
Yes, sir. Mr. Hill, did you bring us some of those red okras that you were growing tonight?
I lost all the red okra, but I got the green ones.
You got the green okra. Well, that's something to clap about. After watching that movie off stage, somebody can mute their phone.
Yeah.
A lot of static in the background. So I want to take time to say hello and good evening to my Canadian family, to the Archangel of the City of Montreal, Mr. Rod Grimm. Uh-huh. We've been thinking about you today. I was glad that I had a chance to talk to you earlier today, and we want to wish you Godspeed for a speedy recovery. We're glad that you're home from the hospital and you're feeling better. And to Mario, we just appreciate you interrupting your busy schedule to be on the show with us tonight. Our environmental health physicist expert from the farm. And we've learned so much about cows and so much about weather influence on the behavior of cows and the health of cows from Mr. Mario. I've learned so much, even with using the skills of environmental physics to see how cows can tolerate this new solar nanotechnology that's helping to mitigate static so the cows don't get sick while they're being milked by the electric robots. And so we are excited about just all of the reports across the United States. I've been working with a consulting firm out of Georgia that is interested in nanotechnology and doing research as they're considering it for their various real estate ventures. And I've had the opportunity to work with one of their consultants who has been videotaping these testimonies across America. Last week we were kind of stuck in Dayton, Ohio, and I took the opportunity to simulcast with Facebook Live and show and pray in the city that is dealing with the worst opiate nightmare that the United States has ever seen, Dayton, Ohio. Oh. They have more drug overdoses there. They've had to make makeshift morgues and get temporary refrigerators because sometimes the overdoses that cause death exceeds more than 70 deaths in a weekend.
Okay,
and we've had several shows on ABC, NBC, 60 Minutes 2020, talking about the horrific epidemic and death of opiates in Ohio. And Ohio is number one in the nation for deaths from opiates. And because of opiates, Dayton has also the highest number of sudden infant deaths syndrome, SIDS. You bring your newborn baby home from the hospital and they die before morning or die within a few days. And so this has brought this community to their knees, this great travail of heartache in Dayton, Ohio. There's great travail of heartache in our nation. There's great travail and heartache in our world. And so, Pastor Hill, we just want to admonish you this evening and thank you for your faithfulness. You're our host and our engineer, and you navigate through all of the technical logistics to bring us on the airways faithfully every single week. And we just want to love on you tonight. We love you, and we appreciate you. We celebrate you. We rejoice.
Oh, I love y'all, too.
With thanksgiving to lift up our voice and our hope to the nations. My heart is grieving because of all the hurricane, the demise of people begging for help, begging for a hand, begging for intervention in these hurricane-torn nations. It's devastating to watch how that hurricane ripped through Puerto Rico and St. Croix and St. Thomas and the Virgin Islands, flatlining homes and destroying legacies. My God, you know, may we all aspire to live life to its fullest and master kindness. May God have mercy upon us, our world that we live in.
Yes,
may God have mercy upon our nation. I want to just pause to render a moment of prayer. And tonight I have a special request. My niece, she's like my niece because her mother and I are like sisters, but my cousin is missing.
My God.
She's a fashion model, beautiful. I posted up her picture on Facebook. Her name is Nora Payne. She left on the 27th of September from Buffalo, New York, airbound on an American Airlines plane to Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And when she went to change planes at Midway Airport, something happened. She never got to baggage claim to pick up her luggage, and she never got to her destination.
Wow.
She's beautiful. She vanished midair. She vanished just off the scene. Her name is Nora Payne. Her face is posted up on my Facebook page. And I'm asking all of you to join me in prayer, praying for a safe return of Nora.
Yes, Lord.
Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus, we just come to you and we offer up the sacrifice of praise, knowing you are, in fact, the Most High God. You are indeed the Most High God. We rejoice over you because you are the Most High God. You know where Nora is at.
Yes,
and so we come to ask and we agree. We ask for your mercy and your grace tonight to look upon Nora.
Yes, Lord.
Look upon Nora, God. Find her. Send the angels of the Lord to her.
Yes, Lord.
And return her to us safely, God. Be magnified. We're asking you to look upon the earth this evening. Look upon Nora's family and comfort them, God. Quiet the fear and anxiety that riddles their hearts and minds. Be magnified in this situation, God. We proclaim this is the day right now. This is the day of vengeance.
Jesus.
On her behalf.
Jesus.
Give her favor wherever she is, whatever she's going through, whatever the situation is.
Yes,
favor, God.
Favor, Lord.
That the angels come and help her. And protect
yes,
her. And free her.
Thank you, Lord.
And renew her and restore her and return her to her family. In the name of Jesus, we decree it is now and we decree it is so. Yea and amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah,
and Father
amen.
God, we ask you to look upon these, look upon the world this evening, God. Our world is in crises. Our nations are in crises.
Yes, Lord.
The spirit of Leviathan, the spirit of pride, the spirit of I have to be first, the spirit of I have to be considered first, the spirit of nobody's important but me, reigns and rules in the earth. Be magnified, God.
Yes.
Pour out your grace and your mercy upon this earth, Father God. Send forth the spirit of administration and organization to help these hurricane tour and areas, God, rebuild and restructure and reorganize, Father, that there may be unity in the efforts to restore, quiet the anguish of those that thirst because there's no clean water and the water is contaminated and they're trying to boil water and filter out water. Quiet, Father God, the despairing hearts of families that lost children in this storm. Quiet the souls of despairing children that lost mothers and fathers in this hurricane. Quiet the souls of those that lost everything they had. Rain peace, I command peace to be still. I command the spirit of comfort to flow over these areas in the name, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Because you are the exceeding God.
Yes,
you
yes.
are the Holy One of Israel. We come to worship
yes,
you
yes.
this evening. We come
yes, Jesus.
To lift up our hope to you, to lift up our hearts to you. O Lord, our God.
Jesus.
Blanket us the entire earth with your mercy. We lift up North Korea to you, God. And we ask you to break the hook of Leviathan. And diffuse the ego of men that want aggression and assault. Forgive them for what was done to that young man. Who was returned home in a coma to die. My God. We lift up our White House, our nation. We lift up our president to you, God.
Yes.
That's an awesome responsibility to stand, to sit in the office of the president and to make decisions that fortify and unify a nation. When players are so brokenhearted that they take a knee on the football field at the national anthem, maybe we need to pause for 2 or 3 minutes and pull up a chair and say, where does your heart hurt? Maybe it's time for a new national anthem.
Jesus.
I like the song, We Are the World, We Are the Children. Because this one truth is, this one thing is truth. What you do unto others will surely be done unto you.
Yeah.
And if you leave this earth prematurely, it will be done to your children and your children's children.
Yes, it will.
As we all bow our knee before the Most High God and ask for mercy on the earth, we ask the question, we took Bibles out of school and prayer out of school, and what came to school was perversion, and rage and violence and bullying and drugs.
Yes, it did.
Children would rather commit suicide in America than go to their elementary schools. Somebody ought to wake up and shake themselves. I'm shaking myself today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm shaking myself today. Because the question is, what can we do to make somebody's world better? Where can we serve and seize an opportunity to lend a helping hand? I'm just a small little sweet pea on the side of the hill. But I tell you, if I can hook up my Facebook Live tonight, I would get me a white handkerchief and just wave it in the air.
Yeah.
You know, they say wave it in the air like you just don't care. We got to change the words we say. We got to say wave it in the air like you care. Wave it in the air like you care. Wave it in the air like you care about somebody. Wave it in the air like you care about your children. Wave it in the air like you care about your neighbor's children.
Yes.
Wave it in the air like you care about your neighbor.
Yes.
Wave it in the air like you care about the people that give you a job or an opportunity for business or your customers. Wave your white handkerchief in the air like you're sending a message to the entire world. Surrender. Surrender to rage just for 5 minutes. Surrender. All of this envy and strife. I always wanted to be a mother in Zion. I love those mothers sitting on that front row in church in the white. Y'all know what I'm talking about? White hats on, white uniform, white stockings, white shoes. I used to think they were the coolest ladies looking across the sanctuary in the pews, and you see all of these women in white, with them handkerchiefs waving it in the air as an offering, as a praise unto God. I wish I could take the entire NFL and set them in a stadium. And I wish I could set them on one side, and I wish I could set the president and the leadership of this country on the other side. And I wouldn't try to act like no politician. I'm not a politician. I wouldn't even try to act like a nurse. I wouldn't try to act like no community leader, even though I serve on boards of nonprofit and for-profit corporations. America needs the mothers of Zion to come forth and wave them white handkerchiefs and say, time out, America. We need to come to heart. We need to open up our blinded eyes. We need to sit down, get us a tall glass of water, and take two or three deep breaths. Because a nation divided cannot stand.
You can't stand.
And sometimes you learn about life and you learn about love the wrong way. When somebody is hurting, as a nurse, if you present in the emergency room and you tell me you got some pain, I'm not going to go down the hallway and ignore your pain. It could be life-threatening. I got to pull out my ink pen or turn the computer on and start asking you some questions. Well, where does it hurt? On a scale of 1 to 10, how powerful is the pain? A 10? Oh, that's pretty severe. We might have to get an X-ray. We might have to look further into the situation. And if I'm the head nurse, I'm going to be responsible for reporting that to the doctor who will discern and make a diagnosis and decide what your treatment intervention is going to be if it's out of my range of treatment. When a man takes a knee at the national anthem that was penned in part to celebrate victory over slaves, when he turns on the television and sees the news report that down in Charlottesville, Virginia, an African-American young man who was beaten by the white supremacists, he was the one that was assaulted. And somebody took a video clip and posted it up and exposed that whole thing on national news, on Facebook, Instagram, and everywhere. He's the victim. How is it that they have a warrant for his arrest when he was the one that is assaulted? When you hear the sons of America say, I'm hurting, I'm hurting, I'm hurting, because there's no regard for the dignity of the human life. It is time for all of us to sit down. If you can't take a knee, maybe it's time. Actually, it's time for all of us to take a knee. We need to get on our knees and ask the Most High God. Invite him into the conversation. In fact, we need to ask him to help us to see this situation through his eyes. We need to stay on our knees until we recognize that the God of the universe created all of humanity. Some people say many are called, but few are chosen. If I can take you to the laboratories of Ohio State University in Columbus, Ohio, we're just going to go in and look at sperm under the microscope. If we would dig into textbooks to study further about conception, we would be blown out of our seats to know that over 500,000 sperm are released in the moment of Eros to go into a woman looking for an ovum to ignite life. This may be a way out hypothesis. I may be totally off. I may totally miss the mark, but this is a Dr. A hypothesis. Out of 500,000 sperm, one of them hits that ovum in a woman's uterus at a perfect angle and enters that cell and ignites life in a nanosecond.
Jesus.
It is my personal opinion that that ovum, when that life is ignited, that is the one that's chosen. You didn't just get here because your mother and father felt a groove for a moment and they had a explosion of passion. You got here because you are an intentional, conscious decision of God. There's a problem in this earth that you were birthed to solve.
Yes, Lord.
And you were chosen to find it. And you were chosen to solve it. And you are chosen, and your journey may take you near the end and through the valley of death. But you're chosen by God. There's nobody born in the earth that wasn't intentionally put here to solve a problem and bring the nation to conscience. My pastor said, you don't have to like who's in the office of the president, but you honor God if you respect the office of the president and pray for that person and do what you can do to be a model citizen and make your neighborhood, your community, your city, your state, your nation a better place for the next generation.
Yes.
In the world of conflict resolution, the invitation is now for all of us to take a knee and bow down before the Most High God and say, have mercy upon me. As the leadership of the nation, sometimes you got to shift your leadership hat to the right. You got to take out your brush and your comb, groom your hair, smooth it back. Take a good look in the mirror and say, maybe sometimes I just need to be somebody's daddy.
Mm.
You need to look and see what the young people are saying to you. They're saying, I was created by the Most High God, and I don't apologize for that. They're saying it's time for a new national anthem because America has grown and become a nation, a free nation for all of humanity. The fullness of the Godhead is here. Every nation, creed, alligator, snake, bird, spider, beetle, plant, is in America to beautify the nation. When one of us is hurting, all of us is hurting. This is not the time for envy and strife and ego tripping. This is the time for communion and all of us to get on our knees and say, God, have mercy upon me. This is the time to ask for humility, to not do it our way, but to say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. This is a time for us to explore how we can love one another better, how we can respect one another more. But our young men are hurting, and they got a right to hurt because we are made by God. And as an African-American woman, I am not apologizing for the color of my skin or the purpose for which I was created in this earth. I was put on this earth to love humanity. I was put on this earth to heal humanity. I was put on the earth to peruse the land and heal the soil. I was put on this earth to pat cows on the head and say, Sister Sue, I'm going to try to help you too. I was put on the earth to pat kitty cats on the head as they shake with hypersensitivity from too much radiation in the house, and quiet that by reducing indoor toxins that are taking the very peace of our pets and animals. We have to stop looking at each other, trying to find things to divide ourselves. We all need to invite Dr. Emoto from Japan and pull up a chair and let him teach us about the power of the spoken word. I pray for my president that he will grow in wisdom, mercy, tolerance, kindness, to look at this great nation and the people therein through the eyes of God and bless us with the breath that God gave him and not curse us. Because it takes all of us. We all have a responsibility to keep America strong, great, beautiful.
Yes.
I need to lend my stethoscope to everybody in the White House and the Congress and let them hear the heartbeat of America. We are on the verge of a cardiac arrest. We cannot tolerate all this hatred. If you look at the statistics of suicide, our young children, white children leading the statistics, want death more than life, and the suicide levels and rates are off of the chart. Can somebody hear the cry of our children? Take a knee and close your mouth and listen to the rhythm of the earth. Take a knee and bow your head and ask for mercy from the Most High God. Take a knee because Jesus said, this is what got me, his first sermon that he got up to preach, you would think that he had exegeted and had a script or a tablet with something really profound to say. But at his trial sermon, he didn't even give an original construct of text. He had the audacity to reach back thousands of years before him and get the scripts of Isaiah 61. He said, I came into the earth for these reasons. Number one, I came to proclaim the good news to the poor. He knew we were going to have people in poverty. He knew we were going to have people poor in spirit. He knew the only way that we would be able to survive as a people is if we would take a knee, bow down before the Most High God, asking him for wisdom and mercy, to love one another, honor one another, respect one another. Where do we get all this hatred from? When God has given each and every one of us a special gift to come in the earth and solve a problem and love one another and expand our lives. My life is rich because I have friends from Asia. One of my sister friends in Japan is in one of the richest families over there. Her family has a $1 billion estate in Hawaii. She gets a world travel card every Christmas where she can go anywhere in the world on an airline. She pays one flat rate, and she can fly anywhere whenever she wants. She has penthouse apartments all over Tokyo. She was my covenant sister at the International House, the John D. Rockefeller International House, when I was a woman solo in New York City. She taught me many great things, how to possess a quiet spirit. I became a richer person. I learned how to maximize and reposition my demeanor in kindness to feel the vibration of the soul of another person because of her life and what she shared with me. I have Hispanic mothers that love me in Fresno, California. I am their daughter. Even though I'm 6 foot tall, most of them sit underneath my arm. I'm a family member in that family. They love me. They do for me. They care for me. They shield me. They provide for me. They've helped me. They've encouraged me in my journey. I thank God that I'm a member, an honorary member of the Igbo tribe of West Africa. My students at Howard from Igbo say, Dr. Lally, we will adopt you back to Africa because in our country you are the queen. The wisdom that you have crowns you and makes you a queen in our country. We will take your wisdom. We will grow. They had a ceremony adopted me, Igbo. And after I got an Igbo, they said, oh, you want a husband? We will find you a husband. They searched all of Washington, D.C. They said, we have found somebody for you. He is your equal. I have so many friends who are European, white, Appalachian, hillbilly, Hollywood, that love and care for me. Where would I be if I didn't have all of these people, all the races and all the creeds? Dr. Olali is born of God, presenting from every race under the sun. My doctor is Indian. He's fascinating. My acupuncture specialist is Chinese. He said, I don't know how you are alive. He said, you have been through crises after crises after crises after crises after crises. The average person would have died. He said, but I see you are a praying woman. Your hair is so thick and curly. The only way you could have gone through all of these impulses and assault to your chi and live is that you are a praying woman of God. Because I stay on my knees asking for God to be pleased and let me be an expression of his grace and mercy in the earth. So I'm calling on America as a mother in America, not as a registered nurse, not as anybody important, but as a mama. Because I hear the cries of children in America. I hear the cries of children in grown men who were never allowed to be a child, who were abandoned by fathers and castrated and cussed and damned. I hear the cry of young girls whose father raped them. And now they're confused and wayward and they don't have a sense of direction. I hear the cry of children who just want peace. They want one night where the streets are not full of violent rage. Our nation is wailing, and somebody need to take a knee and cry out to the Most High God for this great nation. All of us need to get out and get on our knees and ask God to have mercy upon us and reset us. Reset us from this racism that is stripping the life out of our veins, out of our very throats. Deliver us from all of this pornography and sex trafficking, God. A soldier knocked on my door one day in my lab. He had just returned from the army. I said, well, what are you doing down in this country town when you should be at the city with your family? He said, well, I came here looking for my babysitter. Young woman lived next door in the apartment complex. My parents, when they fought and they would get drunk and they would use drugs and they were beating each other up, I would run to her house for refuge. He said, I just came here to find her to say thank you. I saw the soldier the next following week. I said, did you find your babysitter? He said, she's been abducted by the sex trafficking people. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, no, I'm on my way into the city to her last known address to see if anybody in the neighborhood has any information about who may have taken her. I said, well, let me pray with you. We prayed. He was a white young man. It didn't matter to me. I saw his heart of courage. I saw the goodness inside of him. I saw his quest to go see about the person that protected him and cared for him. We became community. I saw him a month later. I said, well, did you find her? He said, yes. He said, they had her in a city outside of Cincinnati. He said, I went and got some of my army buddies. We rushed this house. We went in there and we beat the people up and we rescued her. And we brought her back to her parents, but she's really messed up. This is a young woman, 32 years old. He said, I want to bring her over here. I told her there was a black woman that was praying for her deliverance and that we wouldn't be hurt in trying to find her, that we would find her and she would be alive. It wasn't about who was white. It wasn't about who was black. It was about somebody was hurting, somebody was lost, somebody was abducted, somebody was in a sex trafficking gang. Oh, hallelujah, God. He brought that young girl to me on a walker, shaking, seizing, gait shuffling, 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 like an 80-year-old woman. And I cried. He said, Dr. A, it's horrible, all the things they did to her. Will you pray for her? She saved my life. He cried over this woman. Yeah. And I said, I'm going to help you. He said, she's so afraid. She's so fragmented. I said, well, we can at least make our house comfortable. We can at least get some technology, put in her cell phone. That was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I was still in my lab at midnight. And all of a sudden there was some bang, 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 bang at the door. I said, Lord, what's going on? I looked out. It was a young man. He said, Dr. Lally, she stopped seizing. She stopped seizing. She stopped seizing. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, he said, that's all she does is seize. He said, you didn't know how she was having a seizure. I said, well, I saw she was sick. But sometimes seizures are not as aggressive. They're not as profound at other times. He said, well, she's had pretty thunderous seizures. He said, when she got home, she was seizing. She said, and I took that technology and put it in her shoe, and she stopped seizing. He said, but more than that happened. She's not gait shuffling. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, I'm not kidding you. She's not gait shuffling. He called this young woman at 12 o'clock midnight. She comes running down the street with no walker. She said, thank you, Dr. Lally. Thank you, Dr. Lally. Thank you, Dr. Lally. I said, what happened to you? She said, I don't know. I just all of a sudden felt strong. I felt that my legs, it was like they rebalanced and I was able to walk. We had a party together. We had a party on the corner at midnight in my lab. That happened because we saw the humanity of each other. It wasn't about color. It wasn't about where you came from. It wasn't about what was in your pocket. It was about the fact that you were broken. Somebody cared enough about you not to leave her in that sex traffic, but to risk her his life to go find her and free her. That's what makes America strong. That's what makes America great. What would be fabulous is if we, our leadership said, oh, we got a national anthem that doesn't represent all of us. That's little. We can change the national anthem. There's nothing in the Constitution that says we got to sing the same old song from yesterday. Even though I love hymns, I also love contemporary gospel. I love the song, You Deserve It. You deserve my highest praise. You deserve my hallelujah. It belongs to you by Jason Harrison. That stirs my worship. Because these are young men. The White House is full of older men. Young men are our strength. Old men should be our wisdom. In this dispensation of time, let me give you some good news. God said in these days, in the days after Jesus, he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. We got a helper. We got a keeper. We have a comforter. We have an administrator. We have a facilitator. If we bow our knee. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
If we bow our knee and call on the Most High God, if we repent and apologize to one another, as a president of the United States, you have the greatest opportunity to operate from the greatest vibration of life, which is to walk in a mantle of love and dignity that is so awesome that you shake the world with your, the way with your swag, with your style. I pray for my president that the Spirit of God rest upon him as the profound greatest power of gentleness and forbearance, and he sees himself not as a ruler but as a father. May the Spirit of Daniel set upon him where he takes on the affirmities of the least of these in this country, because this one thing is true. The Word of God said what you do to the least of mine.
That's what it's
the least of anyone breathing the breath of God in the earth. I fear the Lord. As a registered nurse, I have washed the rear ends of white folks, black folks, Mexican folks, Chinese folks, homeless folks, folks with maggots, folks with feces and urine all over them. I washed them with the dignity and mercy of God because I feared God. Not to give them the best of my strength and the best of my life. I feared the Lord. Not to give them the excellence of the skill that God had given me in my hand. I feared God. Not to make them feel anything less than his heaven in the earth.
Jesus.
And I'm telling you that I call this whole nation to their knees. That we might find the humility to love one another. Because if we do not demonstrate the excellence and the mercy of God, then our young people will have nothing to sustain the breath of life in the earth.
Jeez.
And we will stand in judgment. For standing in our arrogance to say, I got mine, let them get theirs. So, what helps keep me focused is I told God I will be the mother to the motherless. I got so many children in the world that call me Mama Ro. Some of them are crack addicts, meth addicts, prostitutes, homeless people, high school dropouts. They got so many issues in the world, and when I see them, I dignify their lives. And this is what I say, man of God, son of God, daughter of God, woman of God. Why? Because that's the highest vibration of life, ladies and gentlemen. It is a scientific fact that if you are breathing a breath of life, if you're breathing the molecules of oxygen, and they sustain the force of life and strength in you, you are a miracle. The greatest wonder in life is your humanity. You are so sacred and intentional You were so purposefully made by the man upstairs, the hand of God, his glorious wonder, that I can take you to the laboratories of Columbia Presbyterian Hospital in New York City. Or maybe we can journey west to Cedar Sinai in Los Angeles. Maybe we can go down to Jacksonville, Florida. Or maybe to Atlanta, to Grady Memorial Hospital, where I cut my teeth in nursing. My first nursing years. I'm a Grady Memorial Hospital nurse. I can take you to any forensic lab. I don't care where it is, in a hospital, in a police station. And when I take your thumbprint from your right thumb and take another thumbprint from your left thumb and take a print from every finger on your hand, I assure you this is a scientific fact. Nobody in the entire world has a fingerprint like you. That's how awesome our God is.
Jesus.
That when his angels inventoried your life, how is it possible that they can formulate the cells in your hands with such precision that nobody, nowhere, has anything that looks like your hands? That is how great the great God that we serve is.
Yes, it is.
So when you have men becoming children, when a father sees a son fall off his bicycle, and the son comes crying home, bringing his bike, what measure is it that the father will sit out on the floor and cry to? The father that sees through the heart of God, the father that sees through the grace of God, the father that sees through the will of God, reach down in his soul and come up with a level of comfort and say, come, son, let me clean up your wounds. Let me help you carry the burden. Let me hold you. Let me affirm you. Let me make you feel valuable. Our nation is crying out for comfort. Jesus said, I came to bring good news to the poor in spirit, poor in resources, poor in hope, poor in love, whatever you pour in, he came. Number one disability in America is depression. Then he said, I came to bind up the broken hearted.
Hearted. Yes, he did.
He said, I came to give sight. There were those that were blind. And I came to release prisoners from the darkness.
My God.
He said, I am here to proclaim this is the year of the acceptable favor of the Lord.
Jeez.
I came so those who thirst could have living water, living water, living water. I came to proclaim a day of vengeance of our God. I came for your past. That's why we can encourage our president, and we can, because if you've got a negative past, you don't have to crush people with their past. Where did you learn that from? Where did you learn so much hatred? Where did you learn to castrate the very soul for people? You learned love the wrong way. I'm a mother in Zion waving a white flag in America. All of us need to get out on our knees. I don't care if you got a cane. I don't care what your situation. Get on your knees. Somebody will help you get up. Because this nation is hurting. Suicide rates up 30% in our children. This nation is hurting. People are so cold-hearted, they're killing in cold blood. Turn the news on. What would make a young man shoot a police officer, university officer, point-blank range in the head? What kind of hatred is that? That our young men, white, black, Hispanic, Chinese, beaten up and so much domestic violence and loving women. We are busting at the seam. We need to take a knee. May the Lord God have mercy.
Yes.
He said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. I prophesy to the four winds. That you shift the atmosphere in the White House.
Yes, Lord.
I pray for my president, Donald J. Trump. I would not want his job. But since he had the courage to run, I pray the mercy of God overflow him. I pray for his broken heart. I pray for the times in his life where he had broken dreams and broken promises. And nobody took the time to hear him. Because when a father sees a child hurting, and there's nothing in there, there's no sensor, there's nothing that gives him information to respond. When a father sees his child has fallen with on the bike and has a scraped knee, and instead of comforting him, he sends his big brother over to push him down again. When Vice President Mike Pence went out to the Colts game, and when they took a knee and he got up, he could have stayed the course. He didn't even have to go because he knew they were going to take a knee. If he was going to go to the Colts game, he could have came as an armor bearer of mercy and say, I hear you, I see you, that you're hurting, that you're wounded. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to give $1 billion in educating police officers about impulse. We're going to educate these police officers. What you do to others will be done to you. Yeah, there's police officers who children. When they kill somebody, their kids go out and kill too. Then their children end up in penitentiary. Karma goes around. What goes around comes around. With all of the Harvard University emotional intelligence courses, all of the conflict resolution courses at Columbia University, all of the wisdom that's in the earth, we can find a way to peace. And we can find a way to love. I'm a mother in Zion tonight, and I'm on my knees asking God to have mercy upon my nation, asking God to set my president free, asking God to strengthen him with wisdom that is tempered with dignity, that he preserves and regards the sacred office of humanity. Because when we treat other people with respect, it strengthens our nation. When we treat other people with love and sacred regard, we become stronger. Did you see what happened in Las Vegas? a man who lived his life, his childhood, in the shadow of a lie that his father was dead. Find out he was in a penitentiary. And the situation that crawled created so much shame and disgrace. That he oppressed it and oppressed it until finally in his life, with everything, all this money, all this land, 2 airplanes, you mean to tell me you can't find happiness with all of that? Happiness is not in things. Happiness is when you have a sacred regard in your life to know you were chosen by the Most High God, to know there's a God who loves you, who created you with intention for you to solve a problem and bring the kingdom of heaven to the world.
That's right.
May the Lord God have mercy upon Las Vegas. And isn't it amazing that in the midst of that gunfire, people were reaching out and pulling each other to safety, pulling each other under cars, pulling each other behind buildings, taking off their shirts. White people took off shirts and made tourniquets for black people. Black people took off shirts and made tourniquets for Asian people. Asian people took off shirts and made tourniquets for Indian people. There was a sense of community that allowed for people to be saved. There would have been more deaths and more lives injured if they didn't come together. Did nobody stop to ask the question, well, you, I don't like you because of the color of your skin or what kind of jeans you have on. There was unity. There were not words that made division. There was words that created unity. And so tonight, on this show, we continue our quest in environmental health. But the reason why I surge and the reason why I move forward is because I know who I am. Mm-hmm. I'm making no apology in the earth. There's nobody in the earth got a thumbprint like Dr. A. Nobody. Nowhere. I was given an assignment. I intend to get it done. But along the way, this is my great nation. This is your great nation. We have this great nation to share with Canada, to share with Mexico, to share with the world. And we have a responsibility to pray for our president that God strengthen him. That God arrest the words of his mouth and of his tweets. And that every word that renders offense, that he goes to the thesaurus. I can't say it tonight. The reference books and get a word, a synonym, that allows him to find a better word. That he finds Dr. Emoto. Takes a few lessons from him to learn how negative words affect the very life, the very soul, the very force of life. And may America reposition. May we return to a course of loving one another, of celebrating one another, of shielding one another, of needing one another, of rejoicing with one another, no matter the color of your skin, your creed, your social economic status. Because I assure you, when that sniper was shooting the gun, nobody was IDing and saying, oh, are you rich? Then I'll save you. Are you poor? Then I'm not going to save you. They were in it together, and they knew the only way they was going to win was try to win together. I thank you for tuning in tonight.
Thank you.
I know last week was short and this week was long.
Yes, Lord.
But all the mothers in America, stand. All the fathers in America, stand. Our nation needs a mother and a father. Because our children have gone astray.
Yes.
We need people to take off the leadership roles that you have and put on your baseball caps. We need to deal heart to heart and soul to soul. So I'm going to close out with this prayer. Father God, we thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
We speak to every body of water in America. Every river, every lake, every sea, every ocean.
Our God.
Water is heaven and the earth. It's a living life. And I want all of us to join together. We speak the love of heaven in the waters. Every molecule of water.
Jesus.
In this earth, touching this nation, we speak love into you. We speak the righteousness of God into you. We speak the healing virtues of heaven into you. We speak the love of God into you. We speak the might of 1 Corinthians chapter 13 in you. Love is patient and love is kind. Love does not exalt itself. It's not puffed up. Love doesn't put people down and rip them up. Love finds a way to lift and encourage. Love doesn't look at your past because God buries the past. Past that are filled with confusion and heartache and pain. Love has a way of covering shame and disgrace in such a way that it makes them go out and bring to you double for the trouble that they brought.
Jesus.
Love will strengthen us. Love will strengthen our communities. Love will preserve us. Love will create for us new jobs and businesses and opportunities. Love will fortify us. Love will GPS a way for us, a way out of no way. And I speak the love of God in every body of water that touches this great nation. By the authority of the name of Jesus, I command the angelic host and I prophesy to the four winds. You will stir the lakes, the rivers, the oceans, the seas, the bodies of water in this great America and bring forth an awakening of respect for human life that sustains us, heals us, restores us, frees us, delivers us.
My God.
For our shame and the ashes in our lives give us beauty. May our president's mouth be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb.
Yes, Lord.
May his heart be filled with so much merciful compassion and word.
Jesus.
That what he does is make a great nation unified by the power of respect and honor for the human life, that it arrests sexual assault and sexual trafficking. People that do all that stuff look at human life, they don't value life. They don't even value their own life. That it will arrest violence in the street. People who kill have been murdered in the heart many times. When you can kill somebody in the cold blood is because somebody has killed you with their words. And we are accountable for every word. The Bible says we will be held accountable for every idle word. Because words are life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So, Father, we glorify your name. We make the highest sound in the earth. Glory, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. We thank
you
for healing our nation, bringing these leaders, helping them to put their hats off for just a minute and come to the table as fathers nurturing sons with broken hearts. Because we have the authority to right our wrong. And we have the opportunity to write the next chapter in American history.
Jesus.
I can't sing, but maybe the new national anthem needs to be. Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light that we are the world, we are the children, and if we care about each other, we can make a better day for me, you, and our children. That's my prayer. Good night to my host and chief engineer, Mr. Hill, Pastor Hill. Man of God, you are awesome.
Amen.
I love you that you
thank
give me
you
your strength.
Thank you, Lord.
I love you, and I say a special prayer for you tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Father God, Jehovah Ra'ah, look upon the man of God, whose heart is as big as the ocean.
Yes,
who's
Lord.
Concerned about humanity.
Yes.
Who lifts up my voice to the heavens, to the earth,
yes,
to the
Lord.
Nation. Bless
yes,
him indeed. Meet every need in his life. Enlarge his territory for ministry. Father, come for his path.
Jesus.
Any experience that made him feel less than inferior too. Open up his eyes that he can see you made him carefully.
Jesus.
And you made him with intention for your glory and your honor. Bless his children. Bless his family. Bless his beautiful wife.
Thank you, Lord.
Rock their world and give them great laughter.
Our God.
And everlasting joy.
Jesus.
I pray for Rod in Canada tonight. I speak to his conceptual
yes,
vessel.
Yes, Lord.
I speak to the chi of his body.
My God.
Be strengthened, reset, renew, restore.
Yes.
Thank you, Father God, for these kings who give me their wisdom, their strength, who conduct their own research and help me guide the vision and the information of how we can live in environments with reduced air and radiation toxins. Father God, I'm asking you to bless Mario.
Yes, Lord.
We ask you to restore to him 1,000-fold.
My God.
All that he's invested in this movement, this cause out of humanity, that the next generation might live and live strong. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for
thank
Ida,
you,
Morse, and how she sacrificed all these years to keep a light of hope lit, to encourage me in what you called me to do, and that's find a way, solve the problem of indoor air and radiation toxins that are killing these young families like 40 going north. There are too many families being orphaned, mother and father dying in the 40s, nobody to watch over the children. The foster care system is so burdened now. All the opiates, families in crisis. Have mercy, Jesus.
Have mercy.
Have mercy upon our country. Let the mothers in Zion arise, arise. And comfort those who mourn. We need you, O God. The White House needs you. The Congress needs you. We cannot live in hell and confusion and expect to give a sound mind to our children. These children are under so much distress in this life. The White House is full of hell and confusion. Their homes are full of hell and confusion. All the fighting, all the domestic violence. Somebody needs to blow the whistle. And we all need to take a knee. Merciful God, I prophesy a healing wave, a healing wind across our nation.
Yes, Lord.
Release the spirit of gentleness. Break the hook of Leviathan from the highest office in this land. Break it in every jail cell. That the spirit of pride cannot have dominion in the earth. Break the hook of Leviathan. That's got our children trapped in these sex games and these sex traffic. Break the hook of Leviathan, God. And do the exceeding. In the name of Lord Jesus, we pray. We give thanks, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
I can see why we couldn't get on the internet tonight. Wow.
Amen. Man of
God,
amen.
He was gonna shut that one down for the night, but God be the glory.
Amen.
Victory. We found victory anyway.
That's right.
Amen.
We gotta pray, we gotta continue to put it out there. Got to pray and continue to put it out there because the word is we are moving forward. We are moving forward. We have so many miracles. And I guess I need to post up. I was trying to post. Oh, I did post up on Facebook, but I got another series to post up last week. We posted up about Morgan being able to operate her robotic wheelchair. And this week we get to post up about my 8th grade math teacher who lost his ability to feed himself and write. He had involuntary tremors so bad. And it was first they said it was Parkinson's, and then they said, no, he's got intentional tremors, and not only is he going to lose his ability to write, but he's going to lose his ability to talk.
Not so.
And I said, And not said, not my will, but thy will be done.
That's it.
What if I had been lost and gone astray? I wouldn't have lived to see this child that had no hope of anything, couldn't move nothing, lived to walk and move her limbs and write 14 books.
Yes, God.
What if I had not bowed my knee and said, not my will, but thy will be done? I wouldn't have been able to spend the day in a snowstorm up in Canada with Mario, playing around with the cows, milking them. Mario encouraged me while I patted the cow on the head. I didn't know it was going to bite me or not. But we made and built a system that biobalanced a robot and helped to sustain the life of the cows. What if I had not said, God, not my will, but thy will be done? I wouldn't have been able to take care of my 8th grade math teacher. Who said, I believe in you, I'm going to put you in honors math. And he was beaten for me. Because they didn't put African-American children in honors class. Honors math at that. Only to know that because he pushed me forward and I was able to get those advanced mathematical applications, could I return to him 40 years later and develop a nanotechnology with frequencies to help to stabilize his body from picking up static so his body could integrate and he could resume writing again. You know, that dignity is lost when you can't feed yourself. You can't minister to your own personal needs because you can't hold your hand still. How it slams a man in the heart when he can't hold a pen long enough to script his name 40 years later. What if we didn't love each other because of the color of our skin? And he would have lost an opportunity to prepare a little black girl to go forth in life and get some answers so I could return to him 45 years later and help to save his life. I'm telling you, I'm full tonight. I am full tonight because our nation is hurting.
Yes, it is.
We have so much, too much pride and arrogance to deal with the heart instead of dealing with the head. Forget dealing with the head. Deal with the heart. Because when we start seeing the humanity of each other, we see God. We act like God. We allow him to be magnified in our life. I wouldn't be here if I didn't have the mercy of Mario and Rod and Pierre carrying me and helping me research and help me find out and help me integrate stuff. I am because of all the people that love me. And I got every color of the rainbow loving me, and I tell you what, I got a pretty incredible life. Disney doesn't have a thing on me. I got some characters in my life that love me better than Mickey Mouse. I got to say goodnight because I'm on a roll tonight. I've cried through this show. I put my heart out here.
Yes,
for people
did.
To know Dr. A, know the heart of Dr. A. And I encourage all of you to go see that movie, Mully, M-U-L-L-Y. That movie is something, I haven't seen it yet, but I've had three or four friends call me and tell me about it. How could a man who started in life homeless become a multimillionaire on private jets with his estates and land, give up all of that to go back to Africa and get all the homeless children, put them on a farm and give them, be the father and be the governor? And trust God. He said, I live for a cause, I don't live for the dollar. That's kind of where I didn't realize what God was calling me to, but it's definitely a mighty cause.
Yes,
and I appreciate all of you that have kept me afloat as we move forward. And we are moving forward. We have some incredible things I can't share on this show, but they will soon manifest. And we'll all be shouting, we made another milestone. Because I can't come down. I can't come down until this whole thing is done.
Jesus.
So I'm going to say goodnight. Have a full schedule tomorrow. And everybody just be. Thank you. Goodnight. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Dr. Alali.
Goodnight.
You're welcome, Mario. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nathan.
Thank you, too. Ooh, I felt that. Ooh. Wow, I felt that one. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Good night, everybody.